Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 125, 106.3 The Game, and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck joins us now. Tim, we appreciate you as always. First question I got to ask you, how'd you feel about the holding call at the end of the game?
I didn't disagree with it. And that was before I heard James Bradberry. Look, I think the play earlier in the game where Juju Smith-Schuster was grabbed by Bradberry should have been a hold. And I thought that he held him late in the game. And I just don't subscribe to the philosophy that officials should officiate a game differently because it's close. Like, is offsides not offsides because it's close? Is roughing the passer not roughing the passer because it's close? Like, to me, I don't feel like a game should be officiated that way. I feel like a game, like, the rules are the rules, and, you know, no matter the circumstances, that should be how a game is officiated.
I just hate it, though, that the Super Bowl basically ended on a holding call after 58 really good minutes of football. I thought, oh, I wanted to see what the Eagles would do if they got the ball back. Yeah. I wanted to see it play out. But, you know, holding call or not, however you feel about the call, I mean, that was a heck of a game from Patrick Mahomes. That was a heck of an offensive adjustment from Andy Reid. And I don't see Andy Reid or Patrick Mahomes slowing down anytime soon. So I look at the Titans' perspective, and I'm thinking, okay, if the Kansas City Chiefs are constantly going to be in that conversation, and they've been in the AFC Championship, they don't miss the AFC Championship, and you're competing with the Bengals and the Bills and the Ravens, and maybe the Jags are ascending, maybe the Chargers are ascending. Where does that leave the Tennessee Titans in the AFC playoff picture?
Yeah, seemingly. Well, first, let me say this. Look, I agree with your sentiment of the finish of the game, Caroline. Like, and I think that's probably, you know, how, I mean, most, I think, fans probably felt. Like, it almost was like, wait a second, we're going to get a couple of kneel downs and essentially an extra point. So I get that. You know, the flip side of that is if the Eagles end up winning that game and you think, well, wait a second, did Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs dynasty just get robbed because officials are calling the game differently? So I think that's the other side of it. In terms of, you know, your question about where the Titans sit, look, I think they're in a completely different category than all the teams that you mentioned. I mean, just look, the Chiefs do not look like there's any reason that they would slow down. The Bills, I think, are going to be good for a long time. Cincinnati clearly is a team that is going to be a lot to deal with. You're right about the Chargers. I think the Jets are a team that could look drastically different if their quarterback situation changes. The Jaguars are going to be better than they've been. And so, yeah, there you can list a bunch of really good AFC teams before you get to the Tennessee Titans. And I think that's one of the challenges that teams like, you know, the Titans or the Colts or, you know, the Browns or the Steelers, you know, teams like that, you know, before you even get to mentioning those teams. So, yeah, I think it means that you have your work cut out for you as a front office and a coaching staff and ownership. And I think unless you are being creative and attacking it aggressively, you'll be one of the teams that's on the outside looking in.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, what do you think about the whole Derek Carr thing now? It seems like he's not doing Oakland any favors. He's like, listen, no, you're going to have to cut me because I'm not agreeing to a trade, which I think, you know, egg on Oakland's face because they showed their hand too early, and now he's making them pay for it.
Yeah. D-Mace, you're showing your age, man. I mean, he's not doing Oakland or Las Vegas.
Yeah, Las Vegas. I say Oakland. Oakland is still in my head. The Vegas Raiders.
Yeah. By the time you get Vegas, they're going to move to another city.
Exactly.
They're going to go back to Oakland.
Hey, 5 push-ups for D-Mace. Actually, 10 because he said it twice. Yeah, look, I mean, they didn't do him any favors either. You know, they benched him at the end of the year because they were afraid that he may get hurt and they'd be on the hook for all that money. He shouldn't do him any favors. Look, I just – and I said this you know, back when it happened, I just would be very careful if I were the Raiders, because I think if Derek Carr is your starting point, I think it's easier to get worse than better at the quarterback position. So let's just play this out a little bit. You essentially were going to pay him $33 million for the 2023 season, and then on the hook for seven more for the 2024 season. So you're basically talking about $40 million over the next 2 years, right? And then it'd be a little bit more than that, obviously, for the 2024 season. Well, we're entering a period now where quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks, are making $50 million a year, and oftentimes it's fully guaranteed on those. So you have Derek Carr for next year, basically at $33 million, and then on the hook for some the following year. I'm sorry, but that's a bit of a bargain. And while you maybe feel like you can potentially get better, you know, at the time they started making those decisions, Tom Brady maybe was still in the mix. Maybe you feel like Aaron Rodgers is potential. But what if you don't get him? What if you don't get Aaron Rodgers? And now you are in the, you know, the Jimmy Garoppolo tier of quarterbacks. Well, what are you paying him? Like, you're paying him more than you were on the hook for on Derek Carr, and Jimmy Garoppolo can never stay healthy. So I just, until I know what, you know, the Raiders are doing at quarterback, I'm not sure that they improved. I don't know who it's going to be. So that's the part of it for me where I think, like, it all sounds good now because it was a disappointing year with Derek Carr, but where are you going next? That's where it's better.
No, you're absolutely right. I just thought they, you know, the Raiders showed their hand a little bit too soon. And whatever relationship that Derek had with the Raiders, it's all but, you know, done with. And even if they wanted to bring him back, I don't think he would go back unless they paid him.
Yeah, and
D-Mace,
I'd ask you, who's the quarterback that goes there that you're like, yeah, you know what? Boom. He's definitely better. Aaron Rodgers, you and I would agree on that.
Yeah, that's it. Unless Tom Brady comes back, I can't see another quarterback going to the Raiders.
For sure. Yeah, yeah. And so you maybe say like, hey, how does this play out with Lamar? But it just doesn't seem like that's the fit out there. And so like, who's the guy that's better? Like, that's it. So now maybe you're in a scenario where you're drafting somebody and trying to, maybe that's the case. But, as I look at it, I just think that while it probably seemed like a good idea, maybe you get better, but I think it's more than likely that you don't.
Now, do you think the Cincinnati Bengals will work out a deal with T. Higgins? Because after T. Higgins, then it's going to be Ja'Marr Chase. And then after Ja'Marr Chase, or during the whole Ja'Marr Chase contract, is going to be Joe Burrow. And he's going to command, close to $50, if not $50 million per year. So do you think they get a deal done with T. Higgins, or do you think they move him?
If I'm T. Higgins, I'm trying to see what the market is. Because, you know, when you look at, like, what are we saying top wide receiver money is now? Like, it's probably 30 a year, you know, maybe. Like, especially if you're to the point that, you know, where, you know, the team is kind of in a bind in terms of everything that you just said. Like, because it's, you know, you're not the only one that's coming up, right? And so, you know, that's part of the challenge. And I think that, listen, in fairness to some of the heat that the Titans, you know, have gotten on A.J. Brown, I think part of the Titans scenario was, well, like, we're looking around at other people too, right? Jeffrey Simmons, we've paid the quarterback, we've paid the running back. Like, we're trying to figure out, like, how that works. And so I think that in Cincinnati, I just don't see how you can do it, because while it may allow you to keep Higgins, you then are in a scenario where Chase, who's probably better when it's time for him, you can't commit that kind of money to the position. So, And then if I'm T. Higgins' agent, basically what I'm saying is like, no, I want to see the market, because we're not going to take some type of discount knowing what's upcoming in Cincinnati just to stay in Cincinnati.
Now, what do you think it would cost for a team to get T. Higgins? Do you think it'd be a first round, or do you think it'd be more so of a two second rounds in a third round?
Well, I think his scenario is this. So next year, so the 2023 season, because he was a second rounder, right? So is that right? Yeah, he's a second rounder. And so because of that, you know, he ends up being completely free at the end of the 2023 season, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, look, if I'm Cincinnati, I mean, I'm making him play next year in that scenario, right? Like, why would you?
Unless somebody offers you something that, you know, you can't walk away from a deal this year right before the draft that you just can't walk away from.
Yeah, like that's potential. But I guess what I would say is this. Here's how I would look at it if I was Cincinnati. Like, I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. And so, like, keeping Higgins, listen, unless he's just furious, because here's the other side of it. The other side of it is, you know, what's the pressure from Higgins? Mm-hmm. Is he like, hey, guys, like, I've outperformed this. Like, trade me, and I'm going to go sign a new deal somewhere else. And then I think that the contingent new deal somewhere else matters. But, like, I mean, my hope would obviously be, listen, I know I'm only going to get him on his rookie deal. I'm going to have him on his rookie contract, and hopefully we win a Super Bowl because we've got essentially two number ones. I mean, that would be my hope. But I think that, and maybe this is what you're referring to, is it's a diva wide receiver in you that's like, no, man, like he's going in and saying, like, listen, Ellis, I've already outperformed, you know, the contract here. Let's go ahead and re-sign me. If you don't re-sign me, you know, you're not going to see me. So go ahead and sign and trade for me and get the picks that you would get. And look, I think that's a real scenario. It just doesn't feel like Cincinnati is typically involved in those big, you know, trades. And so that's why I could maybe see something different happening.
Tim Hasselbeck sticks around with us coming up next. It's Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, the Colts just hired Shane Steichen, former Philadelphia Eagles offensive coordinator, as their head coach. What do you know about Shane Steichen? What do you make of that hire?
Well, I guess I would just say this. I think the success that Philadelphia had this year offensively, and I think the uniqueness of what you know, they were doing on offense, and the development of Jalen Hurts certainly made him somebody that was very interesting to a lot of people. You know, I think it's one thing to be an offensive coordinator, and I think I talked to you guys about this last week. You come in, and there's a really good player at the position, a proven player at the position. It's like, well, is it the player or is it the coach? You know, and I think, you know, with Jalen Hurts, there's been obvious development, and I think there clearly was creativity offensively. And so I think for those reasons, that makes sense. And, you know, I think the idea that you could reboot at the quarterback position with Indianapolis, I think probably is also attractive. So I think it makes sense. I also think probably you know, maybe at one point Jeff Saturday was considered, you know, one of the favorites for that job. And I just think that, I don't know, I just think the PR associated with that probably, you know, was working against Jeff in terms of getting that job. And so ultimately, I think, you know, a guy with the success that he had in Shane Steichen this year with the Eagles, I think is a lot more digestible for everybody.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, I got a question on Steichen. I saw where he is going to be calling the plays, and obviously you can have success doing that, right? Andy Reid has been doing that for a long, long time. The best can do it. I feel like I've seen a lot of head coaches, though, who have been great coordinators, and they're young head coaches, and they want to do that, and it doesn't always work. So what are the challenges, what are the pluses and minuses of bringing in an offensive mind as a young head coach who's now trying to do the two things?
I think it all depends on who you have around that coach. So like you mentioned, you know, Andy Reid, you know, now I think it's one thing. I mean, shoot, he's been a head coach for so long, but I mean, he was, even like when it was Brad Childress or Rob Dauhauer before that, or he's, you know, like Marty Morningwick, like he's had offensive coordinators in the past, but would still call plays. And I think like, think of Kyle Shanahan, like he's still calling plays. I think ultimately you still need a good, you know, quote unquote offensive coordinator that when you're installing plays, because you can't do it by yourself as a head coach, especially with responsibilities as a head coach, whether it be with the media, whether it be, you know, just other issues that you have to deal with as a head coach, that, that you can trust your staff. So even if you're calling plays, you know, there's still somebody that is quote unquote the offensive coordinator that is running the installation of the plays and helping, you know, coach the coaches that are coaching, you know, each position group. So I think that's a huge factor. And then I think from a game management perspective, you need to make sure that there's somebody that you trust that is good for timeouts, game situations, you know, things of that nature, even when the defense is on the field. Because as the play caller, you know, when the offense is on the side, you know, on the sideline and you're dealing with maybe adjustments or things that you want to do next time out, there are things going out defensively of like, hey, do we want to take a timeout right here? Because we might be getting the ball back at the end of the half or things of that nature. So I think it really comes down to having a good staff around you. And I would just, like, I would say this, like from an Andy Reid perspective, and I've said this to you guys before about Andy Reid, like I think he's the best. I love Andy Reid. I think that he does a remarkable job. But he's got a lot of guys around him that have been around him for a long period of time that he trusts. And then he's done a good job of hiring good guys, that, you know, good young coaches that will learn around those players. And I think that's helped him. And even Andy hasn't been immune to clock management, you know, criticism throughout his career. So I think those are the things that are really important when that happens.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about is the turf at the Super Bowl. It's interesting here because we've just had this discussion. The Titans are going to switch to the artificial surface, and one of the big factors was with the way the weather changes here, the transition zone with the grass. They've had that very issue, according to Mike Vrabel, and I think we can all think back to times where you do see guys slip on new side. But how does it happen in the Super Bowl? And, man, that's about the worst I think I've seen in an NFL game. Forget about whether it's a Super Bowl or not.
Yeah, I'll say this. I feel like this is one of the worst-kept secrets, you know, just seeing the outcry from this, you know, last Super Bowl. But, you know, my last year was in Arizona. It's a really unique scenario. I mean, I'm sure people have seen it. Essentially, there is a massive tray, you know, a larger-than-a-football-field-sized tray that slides in and out of that stadium. And, in fact, when it slides into the stadium, that becomes actually the player's parking lot for the game. It's where you park your car when you know, as the home team, when you drive to the football game. And so that huge tray, you know, I'm sure it's, I don't know how thick it is or, you know, all of that, but, like, you know, I guess it's, you know, you've planted grass onto a tray. And I don't know what happens, but, like, guys are always slipping on it. I feel like that was the case when I played there. That was over a decade ago. There have been a few bowl games where it's been an issue, because I guess when you're changing it out, you're ripping it up, and it just doesn't feel like it was strong enough. I don't know enough about types of grass and root systems and all of that, but it clearly was not okay for this game. And I feel like we've seen bowl games in the past have an issue with it. I feel like we've seen playoff games in the past that it's been an issue when it's been changed. And I would say in a controlled environment, especially if you're talking about that climate in Arizona, should never be in a scenario where guys are talking about playing in seven stud cleats Like, that should just never be the case. Like, you should really be able to play in whatever the heck you want.
Exactly. That's interesting you say that, Tim, because, you know, we have watched a lot of big games in that stadium, college and pro. I guess I've just never noticed it that much. Like even the last play of the game, Jalen Hurts is trying to run up and see how far he can throw it. His foot slips, and he has kind of an embarrassing dud on the last pass. He doesn't even get it to the first wave of defenders. That was all the grass and the plant. So I guess I've noticed it that much.
That we've seen, the kickoff in slow motion. Like, it just...
He's lucky he didn't break his ankle.
We've seen a lot of championship. I've never seen it to that level. So that this was worse than normal, don't you think?
Yeah, somebody just mentioned it was Oregon play somebody out there in a bowl game not that long ago, and guys were sliding all over the place. Like, we've seen it happen. I was talking about it with Stanford Steve and SVP the other night. There was a number of games that, and this is while the game was going on. So, look, that's an issue. I think the other side of it, and look, I don't know the answer to this. I'm not I can barely keep my grass from dying in the summertime here. And but like,
mine's already dead, I think.
Yeah, right. Like, so, but you have players complaining about field turf because of injuries and things like that, and I get that. I didn't like field turf either. But, then the other side of it is, these stadiums that are uber expensive and you want to run every event through these stadiums. It's not just football games that are being played there. In some cases, it's, other sporting events on top of whatever, maybe pro and college sporting events and football games, maybe high school football games. You can't have just regular grass in those environments. So I think there's a lot to try to figure out with that. I just know that you should never have a field in those types of conditions, for a Super Bowl, because I think it impacted the game, and that shouldn't happen. So look, field turf is not going to be the answer, because guys are going to complain about field turf and injuries. But I would also say that, like, Pittsburgh, when they play high school football games in Pittsburgh, and they and Pitt plays their football games there, you get to the end of the year and you're like, wait a second, we're playing, a football game on painted dirt. Like, that's not okay either.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, we appreciate you for joining us. Happy Valentine's Day, Tim.
Oh, same to you guys. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, thanks. We'll chat with you next week.
I'll make sure Derek does the push-ups.
Yeah, we'll be counting them.
And it's a running thing now.
He might be the long guy. Remember, back when I first started, he's on the sit-down mower, shirt off, sipping a nice tea. Like,
that is true. I remember that discussion. That is true.
Derek's going to be back in game shape by the end of the year. Remember, times he says Oakland and the San Diego Chargers. We're all guilty of it. I'd appreciate you, Tim. Hey, moving is no fun and can be expensive, so you can save on your next move with our Nashville's Best Deal of the Week from Black Tie Moving. Get $200 off a half-day move for just $75, or $400 off a full-day move for $150 at thegamenashville.com/deals. Coming up next, should the Titans fans be worried about something that actually has nothing really to do with the Titans? I'll explain coming up next. Caroline Ridley, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because he was there. I believe it was a QB coach there with the Colts, and he's the OC with the Eagles. If I'm not mistaken, Nick Sirianni was calling the plays. So, ironically, another case of a guy that doesn't get the not calling the plays moniker placed on him while it's placed on Bieniemy. But I know that he's really good working with quarterbacks, and that's something that they're going to really have to have, right? Because they're going to use a high pick on a quarterback, whether it's, one, two, three, or four, wherever they end up picking. So that's what I know. He's a guy that is looked at as a quote-unquote QB whisperer. So we'll see how that works out if they do go about hiring him.
There you go. That was TD yesterday on the Colts officially now hiring Shane Steichen, Philadelphia offensive coordinator, as their next head coach. And this has been a thing with the Colts over the past few years, is my concern, or maybe Titans fans' concerns, of, is this going to be the year where Indianapolis finally figures it out? And then they go and get Carson Wentz, and it's like, nope, this isn't going to be the year. And then they go after Matt Ryan, and they say, you know, he is going to be the difference between us and the Super Bowl. And I'm like, huh, nope, this isn't the year that Indianapolis figures it out. So now it comes a new year and a new wave of the Indianapolis Colts situation, both at quarterback and head coach. And the question now remains, again, is this going to be the year that Indianapolis figures it out? They pick at the top of the draft. I'm sure they are in the market for the number one overall pick to go get their quarterback of the future. They bring in Shane Steichen to be a head coach. And I have a few thoughts on that, because I'm not a Shane Steichen expert. You know, I don't know him from Adam. But I do know, as TD said, he is known as a quote-unquote quarterback whisperer. And everywhere he's been, he's made it better. He called plays with the Chargers in 2020. They had a top 10 offense at the time, the 9th-ranked offense overall in Justin Herbert's first year as the quarterback of the Los Angeles Chargers. He threw for almost 5,000 yards that year, 25 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and 15 games. They did miss the playoffs that year, but the Chargers' offense looked good under a rookie quarterback. And then you look at the difference. He gets to Philadelphia in 2021. The difference between the offense in 21 versus 2020. Two, what Shane Steichen was able to do in just those 2 years. Philadelphia had the 14th ranked offense in 2021. They had the 3rd ranked offense in 2022. Jalen Hurts in 2021 threw for just over 3,000 yards, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. And then in 2022, we see what he became. Now we're having the conversation, is Jalen Hurts an elite quarterback? Threw for 3,700 yards, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. So much more effective, so much more efficient in 2022. So that is one thing, is everywhere where Shane Steichen has been, he's made the quarterbacks better. He's made the offenses better. But Shane Steichen hasn't called plays in Philadelphia. And it was just announced that he is going to be calling plays in Indianapolis. So that's another thing. He was not the play caller in Philadelphia, but you could attribute Jalen Hurts' ascension from 21 to 22 to Shane Steichen. And also understanding that Indianapolis most likely is going to be drafting a quarterback. I don't know how to feel. He's going to be calling plays. He didn't do that in Philadelphia, but he is the quote-unquote quarterback whisperer.
Well, I mean, if he's there, first you know, Indy's in a position to, whether they move up or stay put at number four, they're in a position to draft a quarterback, one of the top 3-4 quarterbacks. They're in a position to draft. Now, they may want to move up because they've got their eye on one guy, on one guy that they really want. And, you know, many believe that's Alabama's quarterback, Bryce Young. So they move up and get Bryce Young. Okay, that happens. But I think with him, it's going to be his knowledge or his experience with developing quarterbacks.
That's the key.
Yeah, that's going to be the key for Indianapolis. Yes, putting together a game plan. Yes, calling plays. That's always, to me, it's calling plays during the game at critical times, being able to adjust as an offensive coordinator. I think it all depends on who he has around him. If he goes in and, you know, listen, I'm running a ship and, you know, I'm in control of everything, I don't know if that may fly well, you know, with those within the building. But if he comes in and sort of like, you know, what Tennessee is doing here, the being collaborative with everybody, everybody has a hand in this. Then if he does that and hire good people around him, I think it has the potential to work, you know, but I'm hoping it don't work, because then that's better for the Titans, you know.
Right.
But it is a little bit disheartening that you see a guy like Airbnb in this tags, oh, he doesn't call plays, he doesn't call plays, he doesn't call plays, Andy calls him, and that's why he hasn't, you know, been elevated to a head coaching job. But, you know, other coaches that don't call plays, that moniker never get put on them.
Yeah, that's fair.
And listen, I call it like it is. I think it's done. It's obvious what it is. It's obvious. And it's just disheartening. It truly is, that the NFL can be so at times forward thinking, at times when they need to, But when they have a chance to do it, when no one's pressing them to do it, they don't. Airbnb's been at Kansas City for the longest. They've had offenses that have been the best in the National Football League. Whether he's calling the plays all the time or he's calling them part of the time, he's still a part of what they're doing. And you knock him because he doesn't say the things that you want him to say in a closed setting, room being interviewed. That's like giving a kid a standardized test. Some kids just don't do well in standardized tests. But you know what? You put them in a classroom, they knock everything out the park. They're a 4.0 student. They go on to be valedictorians and everything else. They graduate the head of their class. And I just think Airbnb keep getting this bad rap for whatever reason. It's disheartening because it's happening right in our face and everybody's ignoring it. It's happening right before us, whether it's Airbnb or Jim Caldwell. It's happening right before our eyes and nobody's saying anything about it. That's the disheartening part about it to me. But I hope he doesn't fail, Steichen, but I hope Indianapolis fail because that's better for the Tennessee Titans moving forward, you know?
Yeah. Steve Wilks brought the same thing to mind for me. I really thought he deserved to get the gig, but I always see two teams go down the road of let's take this very successful coordinator and let's make him the head coach. When we're talking about what has Steichen done well, quarterback whisperer, offensive coordinator. Well, to me, the head coaching job is so far beyond can you put together a game plan. Like, it's really can you lead a group. Like, I would look for that more than anything else, I think. Like, it's been well documented. Vrabel, it's not like he had this long track record as a great coordinator, right? He's
really kind of not very good coordinator.
No. Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with what you have to work with, right? But, you know, does he have what it takes to be the leader to create the environment, to pick the right people to put around you? All of that, to me, is probably more important than are you really good at – because now Steichen's going to have to redistribute how he does everything. He's not going to have time to just work with the quarterbacks every day. He's leading a group of 53 players and then the practice squad and then everybody else. So it's way, way different. So way different players than he's had. He's going to have to build, you know, who's his quarterback going to be? All of these things that, to me, is going to make the skill set way, way different than what he just left. And I think a lot of teams make that mistake. But I see the frustration. There's no question about with Bieniemy. Specifically with Bieniemy, I don't know what the guy's got to do. Like, I don't know what's in his past or something that – because it can't be just because, quote, he doesn't call the plays. There's got to be more to it than that. I don't know what it is, but it's very frustrating.
And I do think that the critique that this coach didn't call plays, or this offensive coordinator or coordinator didn't call plays, I think that's a fair critique. Mm-hmm. It's a critique that I gave the Denver Broncos when they decided to hire Nathaniel Hackett as their head coach. I said, well, he was the offensive coordinator in Green Bay, but he wasn't the captain of that ship. He didn't call the plays. Matt LaFleur called plays. So I do think it's a fair critique, but if you are going to bring that up with Eric Bieniemy, you need to keep that energy with every other coordinator that doesn't call plays. You need to keep it up with Nathaniel Hackett. You need to keep it up with Shane Steichen, because I think it's fair to ask, okay, is the success of the Kansas City Chiefs, is that attributed to Andy Reid or Eric Bieniemy? Totally fair question to ask.
Absolutely.
Was the success of the Philadelphia Eagles due to Nick Sirianni or Shane Steichen? Also, totally fair question to ask. But Shane Steichen's the one with a head coaching opportunity, and Eric Bieniemy is not.
Yeah, and it's almost like he has to take a lateral move in order to sort of get out of the shadows of Andy to prove. And it's like, when does it – I'm done with it because I'm end up saying something that I don't need to say, but I'm done with it. We need to go to break.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. There is one quarterback – that is in conversation with the Titans. How do we feel about it? How do you feel about it? It's Caroline Willie, D-Maze, 125, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. Hey, Preds fans, don't miss tomorrow night's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue, starting at 6 p.m. See your Predators star players up close and personal. Plus, you can get autographs and pictures. This week's Predators that will be there are Yusuf Parsonen and Tommy Novak. So make sure to check that out. Smashville Live is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports. So it is quarterback carousel o'clock. It is that time of year. And you look at almost half the league is in need of a quarterback. So you're going to be hearing, okay, this team wants to draft a quarterback. You know, this team is going after this free agent quarterback. The Titans have been in conversation with yet another quarterback that could be on the market. Ian Rappaport was on NFL Network yesterday. This is what Ian Rappaport had to say.
Right before the Super Bowl, sources said Derek Carr informed the Raiders that he would not accept a trade to the New Orleans Saints, and the two teams had essentially worked out the framework of a deal. Could have been done had Derek Carr given his okay, but he wasn't going to accept a trade anywhere. His fully guaranteed money, $40 million, becomes guaranteed tomorrow at 4 p.m. Because he is not going to accept a trade, I am told the Raiders are going to release him tomorrow. He will no longer be the Raiders quarterback. They will simply move on, get out from under the money, and plot their new path forward with a new quarterback. And then Derek Carr will instantly become the top free agent available. Unlike most free agents who have to wait until mid-March, he could sign now. Among the teams expected to be interested, still the Saints, the Panthers, the Jets, the Titans, and some others.
Yeah.
Okay. First and foremost, let me say, good for Derek Carr. Good for him. Don't accept a trade. Go to free agency. Don't let Vegas get anything in return for you for them doing you dirty how they did. Good for you, Derek Carr. Second of all, the Titans. Really?
But what? You got to give me more than that. You can't just say the Titans and that's it. You got to tell me where you're coming from with that. Like, this is how many times with Rappaport? He's throwing this out there. He threw that with Brady. But there's nothing. I want to hear where he's coming from with that. Now, he's doing a interview on NFL Network, right? They only have a certain amount of time, but there's got to be a follow-up. Mm-hmm. Like, tell me where you're coming from there. Give me the practicals, right? What are they going to do with Tannehill? How much money are we talking? Mm-hmm. You know, have there been talks? Like, is it just total speculation? Expected to be interested. What does that mean?
Well, I gotta
know more.
And I don't know if it's gotten as far into, okay, we're going to go after Derek Carr, and this is what we're going to do with Tannehill. This is what we're going to do with the money. This is what we're going to do with the contract. I don't know. And I don't know if it's as simple as somebody from the Titans reached out to Ian Rappaport and said, yeah, we could be interested. And I don't know if that's as far as we are interested, or if it's just, maybe. I don't know what the extent of it is.
If you'll play for free, we'd be interested. We're expected to be interested if he will take a contract for the league minimum.
Well,
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's got to be some practical stuff here.
But the fact that the Titans are even in that conversation piques my interest, whether it's realistic or not, whether it's feasible or not. But my thing is, why would you move off of Ryan Tannehill to go get another Ryan Tannehill?
They're not going to. That's just my point. I don't think this is going anywhere. Like, in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. If you have David Carr over here, Ryan Tannehill over here, and there's no money, no salary cap, no existing contract, I can see an argument for Carr. He's younger, mm-hmm. right? He's younger. Maybe he's got a little more shelf life. You're looking for something different. You're going to be running a different offense. I understand all that. But given the circumstances where Derek Carr, like you said, your words were, Caroline, half the league is looking for a quarterback. I don't know if it's half, but there's a ton of teams.
I think I got it right? 13 teams.
Sure. So,
Just shy of half.
That's why Derek Carr did what he did. Mm-hmm. He knows he can sit there and just wait for the offers to come in. He's going to have options. And so you've got that. So he's going to be fairly expensive. And you have an existing quarterback that you know in your tent right now in Ryan Tannehill. And I think we all agree there's not a huge difference between the level of play that you're getting. And if you bring in Carr, then you've got to do something with Tannehill. So there's a cost to that. I don't think Tannehill could get you a whole lot in a trade. There's going to be dead money that you got to deal with. So to me, that's the end of the discussion for me. That's why I want to hear when Ian Rappaport is going to go on the NFL Network and throw the Titans in there. Where is he going with that? Like, he's not held accountable for this. Like, he'll never be held accountable for the Brady thing because Brady retired. But when he threw that out there, that's my first question. I'm not saying he doesn't have anything. I just would like to hear a little bit more of where he's coming from and how that would work.
Well, the one thing that he does have in his pocket is, and listen, the reason why it's the sort of the quarterback buzzers are just circling Tennessee, or those that think the Titans need a quarterback, they're just circling Tennessee and they're just waiting. You know why? Can't blame anyone else but Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel. Because what? And it's not the I'm not saying that they, you know, they're not completely at fault, but you say the only reason these buzzers are circling is because these two guys have not committed to their quarterback.
Exactly. Yeah. They could put a stop to it.
Exactly.
They could put a stop to it right now.
They can say Tannehill's our guy for next season.
100%.
And then
but
all of these rumors from whoever, they go away. But they have not said that. So first it was Tom Brady. Then it was Aaron Rodgers. Now it's Derek Carr. Who's going to be next? Baker Mayfield? Sam Darnold? Somebody?
Roger Staubach?
Exactly.
Jimmy Garoppolo was in there.
Jimmy Garoppolo?
Let's not forget. I believe it was either Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport that said the Titans. I think it was Ian Rappaport on Pat McAfee show said Titans with Jimmy G. So, and I don't know if it is pure speculation. I don't know if it is Ian Rappaport heard from somebody within the Titans organization. They are interested. They could be interested. It's either, you know, yes, we're going to go after him, or yeah, maybe, sure. I don't know.
But the Titans,
I don't think
can't.
that would come out of nowhere. And I do think that the accountability wouldn't necessarily come from the NFL Network for saying that was an incorrect report. But I don't know if Ian Rappaport necessarily wants to burn his bridges with the Titans by throwing the Titans in the conversation with every single quarterback if there's not at least the teeniest, ittiest, bittiest little bit of truth.
But you're allowed to, when you're on the air, speculate whatever you want. But that's what we have to sort of separate is if you're sitting there saying from the outside, okay, let's look at the Titans. Ryan Tannehill's getting up there in age. It's a team that's making some changes. I could see that. Anybody can say that. Ian Rappaport is, though, an NFL reporter. Like, there's a difference between a speculative who could use a quarterback.
Yeah.
And there is a report, I'm told, that the Titans are interested. And he doesn't really clarify that. He might be saying that. I'm not ruling that out.
Yeah.
But I need to hear more before I really think, well, there's something to this. Because as we just saw with Brady, there wasn't anything to it.
Well, no, it wasn't. And, you know, it's bad from this sense. I think the Titans are going to have to do something within the next month as far as the quarterback position. Because if you just keep this thing in limbo, what do you think that's doing to your quarterback now? You know, on the roster that is under contract, that he wasn't the reason why you lost games last year. Actually, he was the reason why you won some games last year because of the way he played. Now, you got this guy sitting over here, and he's going to do his job. He's going to work out. He's going to be in the building.
He's that kind of guy.
Yeah, but every time he turns around, there's another rumor. There's another rumor. There's another rumor. This guy, unless, you know, Vrabel and them is telling him in the building, you are our guy. Don't worry about it. You're our guy. Unless Vrabel and them are telling him that, then as a player, that is in the back of your mind. That is. It's like, man, I'm putting in all this work. Am I going to be here? So I always got to be sort of on guard for a potential trade or something else. So it's like I want to be fully in and fully invested, and I'm going to try my best to be fully in and fully invested. But hell, if you ain't fully in and fully invested with me, why should I be that with you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, plain and simple.
The other variables to me are there some talks going on that are formulating this is what we would like to do with your contract. Like we've talked about Tannehill would be more attractive, or you could make a good situation. You could free up some room to put the players around Tannehill if he's willing to work with you on the contract. Maybe that's a little bit why they haven't committed to him. And then you never rule out the agent calling Ian Rappaport and saying, hey, I think there's a little interest for some teams. Titans. You know, I mean, that's all it might take for Ian Rappaport. I don't know what he's doing, but that does happen all the time, right? An agent driving up the price for his client, saying, hey, the more guys I can get, the more teams I can get going on this, drum up some support, the better deal is for my client.
Yeah.
So that happens all the time.
But I think we can all agree, no Derek Carr. No Derek Carr.
Derek Carr is going to be on the
Carr
Saints.
Derek Carr is a bad
quarterback. I think. Don't you think?
Probably so.
He's going to end up with the Saints.
Yeah, but I think he gets sense. To work
I'd say it's 90%. He's going to get it.
And in terms of Derek Carr with the Titans, and why I say no, it's no disrespect to Derek Carr. He's a fine quarterback. He just doesn't make you a better football team.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the things you can do with him, you can do with Ryan Tannehill as well.
Exactly. Yeah, so. He's the kind of guy that he's not going to elevate the team single-handedly. Mm-hmm. You beat the pieces around him, he'll be fine.
Unless you just want to change, you know?
I don't see the Titans wanting to get rid of Tannehill that bad. Like,
I don't
Carson
see it
Wentz and the Colts, like, they just wanted to get rid of him. Like, get him out of the building. Can't stand him. Jim Irsay couldn't get rid of him fast enough. I don't know, at least from the outside looking in, if the Titans have that relationship with Ryan Tannehill. I don't see that.
Yeah, me either, but I don't know.
Coming up next, just how important is it for the Titans to find that next guy? And not just the next guy, but the guy. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.